Hello and welcome to this daily devotional podcast presented by Concord United Methodist Church. We hope that you'll find this time of scripture, reflection, and prayer a refreshing part of your daily walk with God. This series of devotionals follows our daily Bible reading plan, which coincides with our current sermon series, Friends in Low Places, Jesus According to Luke. You can find the scripture readings for today by downloading our daily Bible reading plan. You can find that plan at concordunited.org/Bible. Finally, we invite you to share this podcast with family, friends, or anyone who might benefit from it. Today's devotional was written and presented by Roxana Jones. The scripture is John chapter 21, verses 1 through 25.
A scripture about the night before the crucifixion. Now the servants and the officer had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. John chapter 18, verse 18, Revised Standard Version. And then a scripture taken after the resurrection. When they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish lying on it and bread. John chapter 21, verse 9, Revised Standard Version. Smell triggers memory. Walk into a grocery store during December and the smell of live cedar trees and wreaths will transport you to Christmas. Smell bacon frying or biscuits baking and you might just be transported back to your mama's kitchen. Get a good whiff of a campfire, popcorn in a movie theater, sweet-smelling perfume, and you're no longer just experiencing the present. You're also somewhere in memory. It was a cold night, and the wind seemed to burrow its way deep into his soul. Even standing close to the fire and pulling his robe close up to his face, he was miserably cold. He took deep breaths, and the smell filled his nostrils. It was the worst day of Peter's life. He had promised his allegiance, his life, his eternal love to Jesus, and now, surrounded by angry strangers, he threw it all out the door. Not once, not twice, but three times he denied he even knew his best friend, and he did it shouting profanity. The Gospels tell us that at that very minute Jesus is brought out, and he's face to face with one he had so affectionately called the Rock. Bruised, bloody, having been spit on, dirty, weak from his beatings, the eyes of Jesus met those of his friend Peter. Peter takes a deep breath, and his heart is shattered. Now it's he that's broken, and he goes into the night and believes everything is ended. There would be no second chances, no more miracles, no blind man seeing or lame man jumping in the air, no leper restored to his family, no more sermons, no more life lessons learned. No more trips up the mountain to meet Moses and Elijah. No 5,000 eating their bellies full of just a couple of fish and a scanty portion of bread. No more eating with sinners. No more banquets. No adoring women washing feet. No water turned into wine. No encounters with the Pharisees. It's all over. The unbelievable adventure has ended. Jesus is dead. And Peter was a failure. So, with each breath that would seem to be his last, Peter shivers in the cold. Can you imagine, even in a minuscule way, how black and dark that night was for Peter? Saturday was no better. Jesus was dead, and broken dreams lie behind the rock of a borrowed tomb. Then came the dawn of a new week, and Peter gets word. Go tell the disciples and Peter. Jesus lives. And maybe, just maybe, there's another chance. The Gospel of John gives us a beautiful story and paints a picture of redemptive possibility. Can you imagine that first Holy Week? What an emotional roller coaster. Peter would have made the cover as a textbook case for anxiety and depression, his body, his mind, and yes, even his soul drained dry. Everything that he'd hoped to be, wanted desperately to become, he'd lost. Standing next to a charcoal fire, he drank in failure and human misery. The scene is seared in his brain as the battered body of Jesus stands before him and their eyes meet. And then the impossible happens. How can Peter, how can we comprehend the resurrection? Peter's no Oppenheimer or Einstein, and even they'd scratch their heads in wonder. Peter, the big fisherman, simply embraces the reality by faith. So what does he do? Of course, he goes fishing. And on this perfect day, he bathes in the warmth of the sun and joyfully accepts the possibility of the future. From the shore, a man shouts, "You'll catch more fish if you cast on the other side." The fishermen immediately recognized Jesus because those were the first words he ever spoke to them. An impulsive, full-hearted, reckless Peter jumps in the water and swims toward the Savior. His breakfast now eaten, he relaxes as the men talk. I wonder what they talked about. Did they think about the years that had rushed by? Did they avoid the weeks that had just passed? Did they speak of Judas? Maybe that was just too much. But they were together, and Jesus was alive, and he was with them. Then, seemingly out of nowhere, Jesus asked, "Peter, do you love me?" The smile drops, and a frown edges its way across Peter's brow. Peter's caught off guard. "Of course I do. How can you ask?" And then he takes a breath, and the smell of the charcoal fire fills his nostrils with memory. And the words of the psalmist must have been brought to mind. "For I know my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justify when you judge." Back to reality, he hears the master, "Peter, feed my sheep." Again, Jesus asks, "Peter, do you love me?" And a gentle breeze sends the smell of the smoke into the eyes, the nose, and stabs at the very heart of a best friend. Oh God, he's asking again. "Lord, I do love you. Then take care of my lambs." His mind now races, and Jesus asks one last time, "Peter, do you love me?" His heart shattered. Peter's voice cracks as he tries to speak. He's overwhelmed as tears run down his face. "Oh, Jesus, you know everything. You know I do." Jesus smiles, and leaning back, he rests in Peter's answer. "Then feed my sheep." At last, Peter was becoming the rock that Jesus knew he was to be. Peter had come face to face and nose to nose with the amazing gift of grace, wrapped like a bow tied around a box of a second chance. Forgiven, his guilt drifts into the air and floats away on the smoke from the charcoal fire. On what would be one of the darkest days of my soul, I stumbled onto a quote. I no longer remember the source, but it's held me for many, many years now. It goes something like this. "It's not what happens to you that matters. It's what you do about what happens." Judas and Peter both betrayed Christ. Judas went out and hanged himself. Peter built the church. How many times have I, yes, and you, failed to live up to being the child God created? How many times have my words, my actions, betrayed the Jesus I love so much? And then he reaches down with a nail-scarred hand and lifts me up again. I get Peter. There's a lot of that waffling old fisherman living in me, and even a measure of the reformed Pharisee Paul who said, "I don't understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." But in the harshness of failure, I also know that I love the one who went all the way to the cross. And as I inhale the smoke of regret, I also embrace the gift of grace. We walk in his strength. We rest in the reality of his presence with us, and we move on. And each day, we recognize a Savior who picks up his friends in low places and asks, "Concord, do you love me?" We inhale a deep breath and answer, "Yes." Then feed my sheep. Let's pray. God of grace and mercy, God of second chances, we have failed you so many times. Forgive us, Father, and help us this day to pick up a cross and follow the one who rescued us and extends his love in ways that are beyond our comprehension. Give us strength, courage, resolve, and joy for the journey. And we will praise you for this day and all the days that lie ahead. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's daily devotional. This podcast is a ministry of Concord United Methodist Church. For more information about our church, including worship times, mission opportunities, and study groups, please visit our website at concordunited.org. We also invite you to visit our YouTube channel, where you can see past worship services, including the current sermon series, Friends in Low Places, Jesus According to Luke. Finally, we would be honored if you gave this podcast a positive rating so that others can find it and benefit from it.